Sefer Ezra, Perek Shvi'i. V'achar ha-devorim ha'ele, after all of the events above, when the bayit was already finished, b'malchut Artachshasta, Melech Paraz, during the time of Artachshasta, and I remember that the way Chazal understand it, and as Rashi brings the simple shot, is that Artachshasta is the name of the malchut, and it's a reference to Daryavesh. As a matter of fact, the Gemara builds an entire analysis of what happened to Daryavesh in terms of his personality by analyzing what year it was, which we'll talk about later. However, it's very interesting that the Baal Hamor and the Malbim brings him, but there are others also in which he brings, and not only the Baal Hamor, but the Radak as well, in Chagai, learns that Artachshasta is the Melech that was Molech after Daryavesh, in which, and that's the Pshuta Shel Mikra, according to which, even though it says Achar HaDevarim HaEle, what it really is referring to is not immediately afterwards, but rather a long time afterwards, in already a completely different Seder of a different Melech. So it wasn't, as we'll see later on, we're counting the years, it's counting now to this new Melech. And according to this, there were many years between the completion of the Bayit and the actual Aliyah of Ezra. In either event, it's a very strange thing that, as I mentioned to you earlier, Ezra is absolutely, volatile over the fact that the Levim haven't returned. And when he makes his census of the various groups that have come up, he gives a knas, which is ad hayom hazeh, to the Levim, that they no longer are going to be getting maaser rishon, perhaps not getting exclusively maaser rishon. That's a machloket. And he himself didn't go up, which is unbelievable. I mean, if he thought that it was such an important thing that everybody had to respond to the Koresh proclamation, and Daniel did, as we learned in the last parak, why didn't Ezra go? And here Chazal say a remarkable thing, that Ezra did not go up until after he finished the Kabbalah from his own Rebbe. Why? Because as long as Baruch ben Neriyahu was his Rebbe, was alive, lo yinicho Ezra ve'alah, Ezra did not go up to Eretz Yisrael. The Kabbalah of Ezra u'Beit Dino, they were mekabel b'Baruch ben Neriyahu u'Beit Dino, and continues the Rambam, Beit Dino shel Ezra, him hanikraim anshei Knesset Hagdola. So that means that the generation of the Kabbalah from the last living, one of the Mekablim, who was Baruch ben Neriyahu, that was too old to be able to go, as the Medrash says. He was extremely old at that point, and because of that, there was no way that he could travel, so he couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael. The creation of the entire idea of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, which is the whole basis of the creation of the second Beit HaMikdash and the creation of what we call Judaism today, which didn't have any resemblance up until that point to what we are used to doing. There was no Sidrei HaTfilah. He was the one who was Keveah, together with, of course, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, even the Lashon that we have in Shmoneh Esrei, to be Mazer, El HaGadol HaGibor VaNora, the 18 Brachot, Al HaSeder, the Sidorim of reading the Sifrei Torah, the way in which we have Aziv Lach in Hazinu. Not only that, but as Chazal tell us, he even changed the, it's written, that we're going to talk about, but it was Ezra u'Beit Dino, which are Me'av Esrim Zekini, or Metakim the Shmoneh Esrei Al HaSeder. So that what we're talking about over here is not simply a guy, but the guy, which the Gemara says, that until, if it wouldn't have been, says the Gemara, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mekabel Torah, then Ezra would have been the one that was Mekabel Torah. So in other words, he was the equivalent. Moshe was always called the Safra, Rabbah of Yisrael. This is exactly the way that we refer to Ezra all along, as we'll see, Ezra HaSofer. And that means, as the Gemara tells us, that even from the time of the Seudah of Belshazzar, we're over there, it talks about this strange story of the writing on the wall, and it says that nobody was able to read that writing. Why? So there, as I mentioned to you earlier, every repetition of the word Nishtavan, Ketav Nishtavan, is understood by the Gemara to be a reference to Shinui, the Ketav which changes. This, the Gemara sees, is a remez even in Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishneh Torah, because Mishneh Torah is actually a lashon of Shinui, Mishaneh. And therefore we learn out Moshe Allah Elohim, from the psukim that we're going to have now, Hu Ezra Allah mi Bavel. So just like the Aliyah to Har Sinai is the Kabbalah's HaTorah, the Aliyah over here, mi Bavel, is in terms of Torah. We find the same Lashon, B'Moshe Oimer, as the Gemara says, V'oti tziva Hashem be'etayi l'lamed etchem chukim u'mishpatim. And we're going to have right now in this parak, Ki Ezra hechin levavo lidrosh Torat Hashem la'asot l'lamed b'Yisrael chuk u'mishpat. Nonetheless, says the Gemara, even though the Torah wasn't literally given by him because kadmato Moshe, Moshe came first, but the ktav of the Torah was nishtana al yado, because it says over here, the ktav ha-nishtava, reference before in Daniel, lo kalit ktav ha-mikra fishlo da'alamalka, nobody could read what was written. Why could nobody read what was written? That was a siman to Yisrael, as Rashi understands it. It was a siman to Yisrael that, from this point on, the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to Ktav is in terms of this new Ktav, the Ktav Ashuri. It's called Ktav Ashuri, says the Gemara, because it was, according to this man, the Amar, from Ashur, which is strange. Then why could nobody read it? So actually, Rebbe says that this is the original Ktav. There's many riots also from the Lashon of the Gemara about the Otiyot that were made Benes in the Luchot. So we know that the Otiyot that are closed, like a Sama, how could they have been written in the Luchot if it went straight through the Luchot? So it was Benes HaYuamdi, or the Mem Sofit was Benes HaYuamdi. The thing is, though, that if it wasn't written in Ktav HaShurit, it would have been the Ayin that was Benes HaYuamdi, not the Sama, but Benes HaYuamdi, and so on. So there's clear indications that everybody is made, and this is how Rebbe learns, that this was the original Ktav. B'Ktav Zeh Nitna Torah LeYisrael. What happened was that when Klal Yisrael was Chotei, at that point, Nepach Lehem Liroetz, Lashon of Tir'at Soyev, that we just had in the Shirat HaYam, is destroyed, meaning that it was wiped from their brains. They literally couldn't read it, because the Kiddush of this Ktav was so great that it was like if you heard the Shema Mufurash, you would forget it. It just didn't register. Your mind couldn't grasp it. And therefore, there was no way that you were able to repeat it. The same thing was true of this Ktav. When Klal Yisrael was Chazer B'Teshuvah, which is what we were learning about during the entire period of Daniel, how everything changed from that point on, we saw Yechonio himself was the Dugma. He was the model of that Teshuvah. So, Kivan, Shechazru Behem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it back to them, Hirziro Lehem. And therefore, the meaning of Ktav Ashurit is not that they brought it from Ashur, but rather that is the mu'ushar shebichtav. It is the most enriched of the ktav. And this was the ktav that Moshe Rabbeinu found, HaKadosh Baruch Hu being mekasher, the little tagim on the otiyot, which makes no sense at all when we're talking about the ktav libuna, because there are no tagim on that ktav. There's only tagim on the ktav of Ashurit anyway. So when it says over here, in the Pasuk, Shuvu lebitzaron asirei hatikva, gam hayom magid mishnah shiva. That magid mishnah is the same reference to the Mishnah Torah, and meaning that is, I am returning to you the Ktav Ashurit that had been there all along, and that was the lashon that you were supposed to write, the Ktav of Mishnah Torah that the Melech carries around with him as a Sefer Torah. I'll give it back to you. And that's because you were Chazer B'Teshuvah. There's another sheet in the Gemara, that lo nishtana bichlal. There never was such a shinui, and Mishnah Torah doesn't even mean that, it just means a double. Okay. But in any event, the Gemara is clearly trying to show us the extent of the complete chiddush that took place at the time of Ezra, even in terms of Torah Shebichtav. Now, in terms of Torah Shebichtav, obviously, as we spoke about in the previous parak, the whole idea of the second Beit HaMikdash is entirely in terms of Torah Shebichtav. We know this, first of all, the Medrash tells us that they refused to build the second Beit HaMikdash until HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mavtiach them, because it was the end of the Viyut, and they felt that they were lost. And that feeling of being lost, we find in Yecheskel, they felt that rejected, they were no longer any hope. Even the rebuilding the second Beit HaMikdash, there were none of the Nisim that had been there. All of the things that were missing in terms of Ashrat HaShchina, the Urim V'Tumim, the Nes of the Eish of Moshe that was there, all of the various things that no longer showed that there was a presence of the Shechina, together with the last gasp of Nevi'ut, Chagai Zechariah, and according to the Gemara, Ezra himself, who is Malachi, they refused to rebuild the second Beit HaMikdash unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be Mavtiach them a replacement for Nevi'ut. And the replacement for Nevi'ut was Chochmah. And that's why we say Chacham Adif Minavi. There needed to be a remembrance. The days of Moshe, it was a literal revelation. You had a question, Moshe Rabbeinu said, hold on, I'll make a phone call and I'll give you the answer. So long now, after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, everybody assumes that this is going to continue. They come to Yoshua to ask. Yoshua says, there's no such thing as asking anymore. Forget it. The only one who was on the dark of Espeglaria de Meira, where it's possible to speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was Moshe. The Gemara says that they were so upset and angry that they wanted to kill Yoshua because it was no longer possible to reconstruct the halachos that he had wrecked during the Yemei Ha'evel of Moshe.
Wasn't it God?
Yes, but they always thought that there was a chance to rebuild it. So at that point, we find the first time in which Chochma takes the place of the actual Nevi'ahs, and that's Otniel ben Knaz. And the Gemara says that Otniel ben Knaz was able to be Machzir, the lost halachot, from being Derish. And that's why all of these amazing new things happen with Otniel, becomes a model for all type things which we spoke about earlier in the story of Otniel when we did Malach, when we did Nevi'im Rishani. So at this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Matiach, and that's obviously clear that must mean that that's the nature of the rebuilding. Is that it's going to be different because of Chochma, as opposed to Nevi'ah, as opposed to Hashrat Hashchina. But furthermore, we understand that that was the Neis Sefurim. The point that Chazal make about the Neis Sefurim is Kimu v'Kiblu Ayudim. So we think Kimu v'Kiblu Ayudim is a small issue. But as the Gemara in Shabbos says, it's not a small issue. In fact, it's the first time that the Torah was really binding. Because up until that point, since there was Kaf Aleihem Harchigigi, and as the Tanchuma points out, and Tosus brings this in his explanation on the Gemara on the Sugya and Shabbos directly, that the Kaf Aleihem Harchigigit, didn't they already say Nasa v'Nishma? What was the need for Kaf Aleihem Harchigigit? Was because, having discovered that the Torah is not going to give them answers, and they're not going to have revelation all the time, and they're going to be reduced to figuring things out on their own, they wanted to pull out, because they had no interest in having a Torah Shebaal Peh. It's too overwhelming, it takes up your entire life, and the worst part is, you never have anything that you know. Everything is more questions and more questions and more questions. The further you go, the more complicated it gets. Why do we want to get involved in this? So they wanted to pull out. Kaf Aleihem Harchigigi is too late to pull out. But Lamaise, as the Gemara says, Mikan Moda Araba Leoraita. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever is angry about the fact that Klal Yisrael didn't keep Torah, they could have said, look, we said up front we're not interested in. You were the one who forced us into this. And therefore, there was always this way out. Says the Gemara, that's true, but only up until the days of Purim, where Kimu v'Kiblu Ayudim, which means Kimu mashikiblu kva. What it is that they had formally, but we view as being something that was forced upon them, whatever happened during the time at Har Sinai, and of course Har Sinai ended up being wrecked because of this, so that immediately it went down into the Egel, and Moshe's not here, we need somebody to think about someone. That's the same issue. We need solutions, we don't need questions. So immediately there was this Moda Araba, comes along Purim, and this is the moment of Ezra. So here we have Daniel as the Yoetz, as Hatach at that moment, Daryovesh coming from that change. And this is the result. The new Kabbalat Torah of Kima V'Kiblu is a drastic change from the original one, because even though we didn't have a Moshe, we had Nevi'im, we had Hadracha, and there was an acceptance of the way things were. To the extent that, as the Gemara points out in Chagiga, there were never, early on, alternatives. There were no machlokas. There was one approach which everybody held. And, as we pointed out, nobody had anything to say, because we don't find avot beginning until Shiyore Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, which is remarkable. What happened to all of the creativity? So that the flowering of that creativity actually was the result of Galut, the result of the loss of the Shechina, which then became now the creation of the entire body of immense freshness and chiddush that was part of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. There was one person that was responsible for all of that. That was Ezra. Therefore, in Chazal's view, he's the equivalent of Moshe Rabbeinu. He basically regave the Torah. So all of this discussion about even the change in the Ketav of the Torah is just another layer of what it is that even in terms of the actual Kivat Torah, we view Ezra HaSofer as Moshe the Safra Rabbah of Yisrael. But not only that, we're going to see very soon in the Pasuk that there's something unique about him in that he was a Kohen. And this was the first time that there came to be an interrelationship between the Avodah and the idea of the Neis and HaTorah. Because remember that Moshe Rabbeinu originally was meant to be a Kohen. because of what had happened in Mitzrayim and the beating around the bush, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Aaron Achicha HaLevi, where Ani Amarti Hu Yeh Levi, Vatati Yeh Kohen. Achshav Vatati Yeh Levi, Vu Yeh Kohen. In this second version of Moshe Rabbeinu, we find that indeed the one who takes the place of Moshe Rabbeinu is the Kohen. And not only is the Kohen, but the Pasuk goes out of his way now to be miyaches him as if in a direct line from the original concept of the Kohuna. Let's read the next Pasuk. So, v'achar ha-devarim ha'ele b'malchut artachshas ta'melach paras. Appears, doesn't even say what, yes. Ezra now tells his name, as if, what about Ezra? So that's what we're talking about is a dramatic existential change here. There's not even any words mentioned about it. So this Ezra, and then it's going to get back to him. After the whole list of his yichud, it's going to go back and say, who Ezra? Ezra. Well, we have now all these psukim of his yichud. Ezra ben Sarayah, ben Azariah, ben Chilkiah. Now wait a minute. It's the Ezra that is indeed ben Sarayah, ben Azariah, ben Chilkiah, ben Shalom, ben Tzadok, ben Achitov, ben Amariah, ben Azariah, ben Mirayot, ben Zerachiah, ben Uzi, ben Buki. Now we skip six Dorot, ben Avishua, ben Pinchas, ben Elazar, ben Aharon, HaKohen HaRosh. In this sense, as the Mefarshim point out, HaKohen HaRosh is not that he's the Kohen Gadol. It means he's the first, the head of the concept of Kohanim. And we put together the opening words of the next pasuk here. Ben Aharon HaKohen HaRosh, who Ezra? So in other words, the Darga, the way the Medrash puts it is, if Aharon HaKohen had been in that generation, together with Ezra, Ezra would have outshined. Beshat, in his time. Because what was needed for that time was so entirely different from what it was that Aaron was able to give, that it would have needed it. And therefore, we bring a general rule from there. It says that a person should never say, well, you know, I mean, if Rabbi Akiva was around, I would go learn by Rabbi Akiva. But for that matter, you know what, even if Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Yochanan was around, I would learn by them. Well, there's nobody to talk to anymore. Therefore, it says over here, Mimakish Aaron to Ezra, Lalamdacha Ilu Haya Aaron, Kayam Haya Ezra Gadomi Meno Bishato. It was Ezra that was necessary. But note that that means that the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, which always, in some strange way, we understand is connected directly to the nature of Torah, and that's the connection of the Lishkat HaGazit, the Mizbeah, to Aveda. Without a Lishkat HaGazit, we cannot pass in any of the dinim that have to do with Riyuv Nidad. And it's part of the Misham, as the Rambam puts it, Misham Yotzei Torah Yisrael, from that Lishkat HaGazit. And that becomes the entire basis of the place of the Beit HaMikdash in order to put Binyamin, where Ben Tevav Shachen, next to the Chelek of Yehuda, who is Mechokeki. So now the Mechokek, now there's a new Mechokek, the Mechokek of Moshe. Now for the first time we have the Mechokek, who is Ezra, and this is what he's called. The new Mechokek is actually Mekusha directly in the Beit HaMikdash, as the Kohen that takes the place of Aaron. All remarkable changes, in which, as we say, Gadol HaBayit HaAcharon Min HaRishon, in certain ways, and one of those ways is the idea of Chacham Aviv Min Avi. So that even though obviously there's a direct connection to what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but the ability to understand and to see things in their entirety through the das that the Torah gives a person is greater. And therefore, there is, on some level, an aliyah in Darga, in terms of Torah, as we go to the second. Who Ezra Alami Bavel? He is the Ezra, this Ezra that we're referring to. What a man. He came up from Bavel. Who sofer mayir betorat Moshe, asher natan Adonai Elohei Yisrael, vayiten lo amelach yad Adonai Elohav alav, kol bakashato. And he was a sofer mayir. Now, exactly what a sofer certainly doesn't mean stam, a guy who writes him and he writes, you know, tefillin and makes his money doing mezuzahs in terms of Ezra. So the idea of sofer, we know that Talmid Chachamim are called sofrim. On one level, the Gemara says they're called sofrim mipnei sofrim kol otiyot shebatorah. That aspect in which they were able to be medayik, the Gemara talks about meisim, where's chatzi atayra, where's that chatzi osya satara, chatzi tzuki batayra, to be able to doresh darash, lo zazru mishamat shotziu sefer Torah, and actually count it. The element of that is important in that is that first thing that Ezra did is to be miyaseid, the absolutely reliable gerzot in the Sefer Torah, and the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, as we know, were the ones who were koveya the Seder of Tanakh, of Nevi'im, and so these are the the Svarim that are reliable. This is what the correct Gers is, and so on. So in that sense, it's literally Sofer, in that each single letter and tag is important. But the word Sofer is, as we know, generally a reference to Amalei Chachamim throughout the Gemara. If he's a Sofer, if he's a Bor, if he's a Talmid, we always use those Lashonas as references to Dargot in Chokhmah. What is the makor of that idea? It's a very interesting Ralbag who understands the concept of Sofer is the ability to see many alternatives instantly. So Sofer means all the numbers pop up in your mind at once. And we know that obviously that is the most important part in learning, is that you see the branches and you're able to intuitively grasp where these various branches will take you. Of course, that is something that is nogea specifically Torah Shebal Peh, so that the being able to see a lot of things, a lot of numbers at once, is called a sofer. And on this darga, it means to be normally, I mean, even the simple lesson, as the Ebenezer says, it takes us from the Targum, misaper b'mispar b'mihirot. Sofer Mahir means that he's able to use numbers. Again, as Rishonim explained, numbers in the sense of where each one is an alternative approach. This is something like chess playing, in which you've got to be able to see the moves. You have to see the variations without being able to work them out. So this is instant. In other words, if you need to if when you read the Gemara, you don't instantly know, obviously we're talking about it after 50 years of doing it, but if you've been learning Gemara for 50 years and you're learning a Gemara and you don't immediately see the kasha of all of the Rishonim and the different approaches that are going to take, it'll just take you forever to do anything. You can't, there's not enough time to be able to learn everything in this linear type of plodding way. You start learning that way. But ultimately, everything becomes linked to the shape of the board. You no longer need the pieces. Everything automatically just finds its place. This is what Ezra was, and because of that, he was roy to be miyased, the whole nature of Torah in Yisrael, again. And this Ezra was saved so firm a year by Torah Moshe, asher natan Adonai Elohei Yisrael. Because of that, vayitenu amelech kiyat Adonai Elohav alav. The king gave him, now there's many different levels of understanding. One understanding, which is a simple Rashi's pshat here, kiyat Hashem Elokav alav means all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him to ask for, he asked for and the king fulfilled. According to that, as Rashi points out, that must mean that he had neviut, and that is because, as Chazal tell us, Ezra is Malachi. But the other meaning would be that it's a reference to the Melech. Kiyad Hashem Elokav alav, the way that God had been mechonen the Melech, the Melech, and the Lev Melachim is Biyad Hashem. So this would be a reference to that process. Kiyad Hashem Elokav, on the Lev of the Melech. So on the Lev of the Melech, then it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave an inspiration to the king, either Daryovish or Atashasas, I mean that they're different people, to fulfill everything that was needed by Ezra. Or it may also mean, because of the immense zechut that Ezra had, Kiyad Hashem Elokav alav, that he was no sechein and was able to ask for things and get them. He was capable of getting the king to reinstitute the license that had been given. Why was there a need to reinstitute anything? Because, as the Malbim points out, the original achraza of Koresh had expired. It was a license to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, together with the people that would go up and donate, and they did that. So why would anybody believe that now that that was accomplished and had been fulfilled, so that the decree of Koresh was now something that was in the past? If somebody wanted to go out and take money or kalim or whatever it is, from Bavel to a Beit HaMikdash, or certainly to make any kind of mass aliyah from Bavel, it would have been an act of political lunacy. What in the world are you doing? So if there was no longer any backing of the Malchut for any new developments, how could they possibly go ahead and do that? Unless now suddenly there came to be a renewed commitment to what it was that needed to be achieved, a new willingness of the Malchut to back the Karbonis on a daily level, even after they had started and had achieved what it was that had been given earlier on. And ultimately, of course, this turns into, and say for Ezra, the rebuilding of Yerushalayim itself. Not simply the Beit HaMikdash. So there needed to once again be movement that would turn just the incipient Beit HaMikdash, which was the entire first period, and I mentioned it, we talk about this, the entire first period. It takes us up to Parag Zion as the time of infrastructure, as we saw. It was all infrastructure. There was no real yesod, as we'll see in a moment. There was no real yesod for rebuilding rebuilding the Jewish people. Everything was external. There were buildings that were built, there were sacrifices that were being brought, and there was no real change in paradigm that would have allowed the rebuilding of Klal Yisrael. And as we saw many, many times, what was necessary was a change in paradigm, not a change in going back and redoing. So the whole first part of the Sefer was the period in which they believed that they would be going back. And it's in the first six Prokim that they discover that there is no way to go back. So that all that's possible is to go ahead, to move ahead. But how do you move ahead without new tools? It's Ezra who provided the new tools, and that accounts for the sudden drama of this. Ezra appears out of nowhere, so to speak. Ooh, Ezra. This is the Ezra, and this, of course, is the name of the book, even though he's never been here until now. What a crazy way to write a book about Ezra, where he appears in the last three Prokim. It is very strange. Unless that's the point, we see that entire period as an introduction in which we got so profoundly the sense of what's missing that nothing really seems to be going anywhere. It's just going through the motions of trying to reconstruct what was, and it's all this pale reflection of what really was to the point at which it's emotionally shattering. They're trying their best to make something out of it and to be happy, but what's really there? What future is there? So that this, in a sense, is the true beginning of the book, and until now, we've been dealing with really the story of the Hagdamah. Now, obviously, in the way Chazal view the Sefer, there is no Sefer Nehemiah. The entire Nehemiah is part of Ezra. It's all called Ezra, so it's not really fair to say it appears in the last three Prokim. But the truth is, the main character in the next book sort of switches to Nehemiah. And therefore, in a sense, it's still true to ask the question. And we could still conclude that the introduction is indeed clearly an introduction. Ezra wrote the book until the parts in which he's no longer involved. It's just like Divrei HaYamim. So until now, we've had nothing but an introduction to the actual Kedusha and the beginning of the true settlement of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. It's very much as we have today, there's a period of creation of infrastructure. And infrastructure included, initially, the Binyan Beit HaMikdash itself, together with all of the, ultimately, as we'll see later, the Sidrei HaKohanim and the Leviim, the beginning of Sidrei Avodah, but not the real Kedusha, not the beginning of education, and not the beginning of commitment to Torah, and not a separation from the Ugot Olam, and not a distinction between the Kutim and Yisrael, and not a Shlita, in which Yisrael had actual power. They were constantly dependent on the local governors. Sometimes the national government back in Paras would take care of things, sometimes not. It was only now, in which everything switches to Lashon HaKodesh, everything switches, as we'll see, to first-person narrative by Ezra himself, and we have this entire introduction about the Darga of Ezra, who includes both Moshe and Aaron together, and he is himself the one that is compared again and again here in the Pesukim, both in terms of the Aliyah, we always talk about Aliyah of Ezra, it's the equivalent of Aliyah of Moshe Rabbeinu to Har Sinai, the Kohen Arosh, the first of the Kohanim, Aaron HaKohen, and even in the Yichus that we see over here, there's both issues, because first of all, we know that the only reason that Ezra didn't come up initially, the way that Daniel came up, is because of the fact that he was the one that was going to be Miyasik Terah in the next generation and for all generations that follow. He was the 22nd individual to be Makabel from the generations of Moshe Rabbeinu, starting with Moshe Rabbeinu. The 22nd was Ezra, which is why Ezra actually equals Aaron with an additional 22. It's the Megala Lucas concept. Being as he's the 22nd generation, Aaron turns into Ezra. But if you take a look at the way in which we're miyaches him here to Ezra, although we don't to Aaron HaKohen, although we don't go through all of the Yichus, we skip certain generations, but we do see here that Ezra is certainly Ben Saraya. The chashivut of his being Ben Saraya Ben Azariah is because if we take a look back in Malachim, the horrible story of the end, and this is what makes it so particularly fitting and why we want to be miyachasim. The last thing that happens at the end of Malachim is that the executioner, basically the Rabbah Tabachim, of Nebuchadnezzar takes Seraya Kohen HaRosh together with Svanyahu Kohen HaMishneh plus the Shomer HaSaf, brings them to, this is Nebuzradan, who brings them to Melech Bavel, who is in Rivla, encamped, and he murders them there. Melech murders Seraya Vayamitem Berivla Be'eretz Chamat, and with those words, Vayigel Yehuda Me'al Admatam. Immediately afterwards, it was the Golut of Yehuda we see as being direct consequence of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash that culminates with the murder of the Kohen Gadol and with the Mishkan, just as the construction of the Mishkan initially is a construction of a building which is Mushlam, as Rabbi Rubachir points out, only with the Kohen Gadol. So it's that Odom that is Meyached and that is aware, he is what gives the Mishkan, and therefore the Beis HaMikdash, its personality and its ability to think, and therefore the Shekhinah that speaks to the Urim V'Tumim is his. With Moshe Rabbeinu, we know that there was a separation between the Torah and the Kohuna. Here, the Torah and the Kohuna comes together. The fact that he was the son of Seraya is astounding. In other words, it means we go directly from the murder of Seraya at the Churban of the Mikdash, and Ezra, who comes back to bring in once again the Shekhinah into the Beis HaMikdash. So, I mean, you see the incredible circle that is being made over here, that it should come directly from that exact same Yichus. But by the same token, if we take a look in Divrei HaYomim, we see that Seraya, who is the son of Azariah, just like over here, Holidat Yehud Tzadak. If he was Molid Yehud Tzadak, then that means that the current Kohen Gadol, who was Yehoshua, then Yehud Tzadak, was actually a second generation after Ezra's. So that Ezra was his uncle, because here it has Yotzadak as a child of Seraya, which means that Yotzadak and Ezra were brothers. In which case, the one that should really, you would think, be the Kohen Gadol, should be actually Seraya's son and not Seraya's grandson. Therefore, comes along in letters to say that one of the reasons that actually the Torah just worked it out, that Ezra was unable to come out because he was still involved in being mashlin his Torah from Baruch ben Neriah, and Baruch ben Neriah was too old to be Ayla. But there's also another issue, and the other issue is that it was Lama lo Allah Ezra bota sha'ah. So the simple meaning that he related to was Shayat Sarich Levarer Talmudot Lifnei Baruch Ben Neriah. I asks the Medrash, so why doesn't Baruch Ben Neriah himself come up? Baruch Ben Neriah was an Adam Gadol, but was extremely old at that time. The Yashish Haya. Vafilu Begalaktika lo haya yacholitai. There was no way to bring him up even in a stretcher. He was so weak. So there was absolutely no way to bring it, which means that you see from here that the incredible zechus of learning the Torah, it's not just learning the Torah, being the Yasi, the Torah, is Deifel Binyan Beit HaMikdash. Now, furthermore, and this is an amazing thing, that the Medrash says that it's an unbelievable Kedusha, is the fact that he didn't come up. Because had he come up, then the entire Kiddush of the Aliyah would have been destroyed. Why? Because Hayala Satan Lekatre, Velomar Mutaf Shishamesh Ezra Bikuna Gedola, Milashamesh Yehoshua Ben Yehud Tzadak Kohen Gadol. And the fact is that Yehoshua Ben Yehud Tzadak Haya Kohen Gadol Ben Kohen Gadol. Because Yehud Tzadak was also briefly Meshamesh. And therefore, the Gadol, the Shalshalat HaYuchasin Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeHeyaker MiMekoma, that it was would have been a terrible thing, because people really would have responded to that. How can we have a youngster compared to Ezra, who's his own uncle, and have this Yehoshua ben Yehud Tzadak be the one that's going to be the beginning of the Kohen Gadol in the new Beis HaMikdash? And that machlokes, said Rishon Lakish, would have destroyed Eretz Yisrael, would have destroyed the Kedusha of Beis HaMikdash. So the co-joining of the Torah and the Kehuna is in every level, not just that he becomes both, but even the issues that were misulavim, that were seen to Min HaShamayim, that placed him in the precise position at the precise time, was entirely a mixture of Kehuna and Torah. And as we know, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael came through Ezra, that's the Kedusha Shnia Shkicha Ezra, with all of the dinim that the Gemara learns out from Ezra, and that Kedusha is the Kedusha that we have today. So even if Kedusha Rishona lo kichela tilavo, but the Kedusha Shnia is a Kedusha that came from a completely different madriga, which was not physical, was not through Kivush, it was something that Ezra achieved, together, of course, with his relationships with the Umot HaOlam. And therefore, this is the Ezra, and this is a refrain that we find in Pasuk Vav, this is the Ezra that is Olam Mibavel, the one that, again, Kiyad Hashem Elokav Alav, Kobak HaShato, the one that the king gave everything as God's hand was upon him. This is a refrain of God's hand upon him. Vayalum b'nei Yisrael min ha-kohanim v'halaviyim v'ha-mishorim v'ha-shoharim v'ha-netinim el Yerushalayim b'shnat sheva la-tachshasta ha-melech. And so it was the seventh year of Atachshasta that, and we're going to see that this really doesn't make any sense in the psukim later, it should not have been the seventh year of Atachshasta according to the way that Chazal understand Atachshasta as being really the Daryavesh was Malach Kosher, and whose reign in Rosh Hashanah, we proved from the previous parak, had to have been from comparison of Psukim and Chagai, that his reign had to have been measured as the reign of Malchai Yisrael from Nisan. Since that's true, there is no way that this could have been, as we're going to see shortly, Bishnat Sheva La Tachshasta HaMelechet, because it simply doesn't work out. Remember that in the previous parak, what happened was that we talked about the closure of the Vinyan Beis HaMikdash, and the closure of that was in Adar, which was in the, if you take a look at Pasuk Tetvav, V'sheitzi Beit Adana Ad Yom Telata V'yirach Adar. The building was completed in the third day of Adar. The he shnat sheit lemalchut Daryavesh Malka. Now that means that on Nisan, according to the Gemara, and this was proved 100% from the Stira in Chagai, that he was being counted from Nisan, it began shnat sheva. The problem is that over here, we're told that it was after all of the above things. This is in the first pasuk. Achara devarim ha'ela. Achara devarim ha'ela. Even if we want to learn like those shitas, that Malchut HaTachshast was a continuation of Daryavesh. It's just the name of the Malchut. But it means it had to have been after the Korban Pesach and the celebration that was detailed in the previous parak. This is Achara devarim ha'ela. The problem is that if the third of Adar was the sixth year of Daryavesh, then Nisan was the seventh year of Daryavesh. And Ezra could not have left until the next Nisan, as we're going to see. Because it was the first of Nisan that was the Yisud HaMa'alah, and that would have been before HaDvarim HaEla. So the whole thing doesn't work out. Therefore, it couldn't possibly have said the seventh year, it would have had to have been the eighth year, and yet it says the seventh. And therefore, Chazal say in Rosh Hashanah, something must have happened to Daryavesh in between, and he no longer had the zchus of being counted from Nisan, he no longer was a tzaddik. Remarkably, all the amazing things that he wrote before are attempted to be brought by the Gemara as a raya that he was no longer a tzaddik. So why was he concentrating on the tefillahs for himself and his children? No, as we talked about earlier, I mean, somebody who says such a thing says the Gemara is a tzaddik gomer, lo nora. Why, as we're going to see, does he place a limit, maximum monetary value on how much they can withdraw from the treasury? I says the Gemara, maybe that's because before they didn't know. and they had to keep it open, and now they've already established what it's going to cost. I mean, how does that prove it? So we're going to see that the Gemara keeps searching for issues that on the surface appear to be perfectly acceptable, and yet we play with them in a way that's not acceptable. By the way, I want to point out that the Gemara, even though the Gemara ends up making the nafkamina between Akram and Yisrael in that issue, there is another point about praying for myself. There is another point. And the other point is simply this: the famous, I think it was the Kotzker's word about Hanukkah, the famous question of why do we need the Shem HaTar? What's wrong with Shem and that's Tameh? After all, it was Betzibur. It's okay to use Betzibur. I believe that it was he who said it is all right, but not for the Chinuch, which is obviously so. You're not mechanic something in the wrong way because it's kosher. I mean, that's the whole point of Chinuch, is that you're defining the entire essence of what you're putting into the thing. So how can you tell me that let's use it, it's kosher? It's absurd if you think about it. And if that's the case, the same thing is true over here. You're going to be yasid, basically. It's going to be the first karbonis that are being brought. The whole binyan of Kedusha, and you throw in these horrifically cheap words and see to it that this is done to make sure that they pray for the king and his family. That's just, it's so completely out of range that in that context it expresses the mind of an individual who is no longer on a darga of caring. That's what Chazal were pointing out. So if that's the case, at least the dates over here work out, even according to those that understand our Tavshasta to be a continuation. And we're going to get back to how his being Sarach relates specifically to what it is that Ezra is doing.
So it's a getter of Chesed Lumen Chattis. He's revealing that it's all for me.
Right, yeah. That's what the Gemara is basically saying. And so, together with him, there also came from Bnei Yisrael, from the Kohanim and Levim. This is besides the Aliyah, so many years earlier, where we, again, there may be mixtures of the number of people from later and before, but clearly there was a strong initial Aliyah that came together with Sheish Batzar and some of the Kelim, as we had before, and Sur Bavel, and they were the ones who were involved in the first stage, the phase of building the actual bayit. Here, Bnei Yisrael from the Kayanim, the Levim, Hamishorim, Ve'ashorim, Vahanitinim, the Nitinim, of course, it was their job to care for the Mishorim, the Shaharim, and for the Kohanim. That was they were the water carriers. That was the whole story with Shaul and Ovir HaKohanim. And this takes place Bishnat Sheva La'Tachshasta HaMelech, which, as we just saw, really would have been the eighth year had we counted from Nisan, but since at this point we're counting from Tishrei, it was still Shnat Sheva. Vayavo Yerushalayim b'chodesh ha-chamishi hi shnat ha-shvi'it l'melech. He arrives in Yerushalayim in the fifth month. Now he does this bedavka l'chora in the fifth month. What is the value of arriving in the fifth month? Because which month is the fifth month of? So once again, the idea is the tikkun coming from the place where the kilka was. So Saroya was murdered, the binyan was destroyed, Ezra, his son, returns, and the binyan is rebuilt, and the Kedusha returns in Chodesh Av. Which is because I'll say that Mashiach was Nailan and Tisha B'Av. It's the same idea here. The interim stage of the binyan sheni was meant to take place at the same time. Ki be'echad l'chodesh harishon, and this is how we know that it couldn't have been that it was really the seventh year, because he only left after Pesach. And here it says that he got together on the first of Nisan. That was the time of Yisud Hama'ala Mibavel. This notion of Yisud is not a verb, it's a noun. It's not the Yisod or the or Yisdu, but rather it's a concept of the Yisud, the primal moment of it, of the Aliyah from Bavel. But the Eben Ezra learns that the Lashon of Yisud is actually based on the idea of Sod. And therefore means that not that they actually left, and we'll see, but in fact in the next parak, it says that they left on the 12th from Nahar Ahava. So that this must be the Lashon of Sod. In other words, a conference. Yisrud HaMahalah was the Aliyah conference in which they got together and made the determination and the plans of leaving, which took place 12 days later, on the 12th of the month. But either it means the literal beginning or the planning of the beginning. U'b'yachad l'chodesh ha'chamishi ba'al Yerushalayim, and it was in the first day of Av that he arrived in Yerushalayim, ki yad elohava tova alav. Again, this has various levels of meaning, but one of the Tzuris points out, ki yad is because that's a very, very fast trip, considering that he's bringing all of the things and all of the people that he had with him, plus the fact that in the interim, as we'll see, there were so many things that had happened in terms of his being miyaseh and yichusim and the problem with the Levim. So this was like a kvitas haderach that had been given to him, kiyad Hashem alav. The simple meaning is that it was amazing that this happened at all, and that it was all a tremendous nes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done, that everything worked smoothly, and that he was given the letter that we're going to see from Daryavesh, from Artaxasta, that enabled him to recreate an actual nation, and not just a bayit. Ki Ezrai chin levavo litrosh et Torat Adonai v'la'asot l'lameh b'Yisrael choku mishpat. First of all, he was making his heart. And this is the Medrash points out that this is a separate issue. It's not that he learned a lot of Torah. He was a chin levavo litrosh et Torat Hashem. That hachanat alev, first of all, means a hachana. The Medrash says, call it the Medrash in Tehillim. For his tvila is Zoyche. And that's what Ezra did. Echidat Levavo is always a reference to tvila, in which a person raises his heart up. And we find very often tvila is spoken of as Lev. We saw Levavenu al Kapayin el Shamayin. That's the getter of tvila. But clearly there was a Hachonas HaLev, as the Malbim points out, for three things. First of all, for his own understanding. Second, which is, of course, and all three things, he had a separate hachana in his life to commit himself on those levels, and therefore to end up becoming the one who would be choku mishpat. And as we mentioned before, this is the raya, the other raya, besides the aliyah, that this is exactly what it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, that it was Choku Mishpat. That's exactly what Ezra did. So here we have now a complete new beginning, that is Bekeach HaTorah, which is the essence of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and it's reflected in the amazing letter that Artaxasta gave to Ezra as follows. V'zeh Parshegen HaNishtevan, and the following is the contents of the document Asher Natan HaMelech Artaxasta LeEzra HaKohen HaSofer. He wrote to him as follows. To Ezra HaKohen HaSofer, it works both ways, these words. Sofer Divrei Mitzvot Adonai V'chukav Al Yisrael. So this is like a title. And remarkably, the Melech not only related to Ezra in terms of his own gadlut in Torah, but actually was appointing Ezra because of that to utilize, as we'll see a number of times in this letter, to utilize that gadlut that he, the king, was aware of to rebuild his nation and to rebuild it along the lines of what he had learned in the Torah. Remarkable thing. So this is the one who sofer divrei mitzvot Hashem. The chukav, separately. The tremendous amount of sophistication in Artaxasta's writing. Artaxasta Melech Malchaya, from the great king of kings Artaxasta to Ezra the Kohen, the Safar Data de la Hashemaya Gamir, the one who has learnt all of what needs to be understood and who keeps the sofer of the religion of his, of not his God, but the God of heaven, Uchenet, and etc., etc., etc. Or, as we learned before, many of the Mefarshim, is the reference to the overall Yishuv of the cities in Prat. Mini sim to Eid. I do hereby issue a decree. Dikol mitnadav b'malchuti min ama Yisrael v'cho'anayi v'lavaye limhach l'Yerushalem imach yahach. So, even though the Koresh proclamation had already been fulfilled, and there was no longer a license for people simply to pick up and take things away from Baba and move them cross-border to the provinces, he was renewing this. Anybody who wishes, anywhere in my kingdom, anyone of the nation of Israel or the Kohanim and the Levim to go up to Yerushalayim with you shall go. Kol kovelden, in light of all of this, mikodamalka v'shivat yatoi, from the king and his seven advisors, you have been appointed shaliach levakara Yehud v'Yerushalayim. You are the one who is going to investigate and be in charge of the situation of the Yehud and of Yerushalayim itself, utilizing bidat elohach dividach, utilizing your insight in Torah, which is in your hands. Ulehevala, you are also appointed to transport kisaf udahav, silver and gold, dimalka ve'atoi hitnadavu, that which has been donated by the king and by his cabinet, le'ela Yisrael de Yerushalayim mishkenei, to the God of Israel who is imminent in Yerushalayim. V'chol kisaf udahav dihashkach b'chol medinat bavel. Furthermore, any silver and gold that you will find as donated by any of the people in Babel, because there had been previously a request by the king in the previous letter that the neighbors of the people that were going up at the time that Zerubbabel was going up should collect money and support him. So together with that money, not to mention im hitnadavut ama v'chahanaya mitnadvim lebeit ala hahom dibi Yerushalam, together with money that had been donated by the people, the Jews themselves, the Kohanim, and the ones that were going to be involved in the Beit HaMikdash, there was three sets of things that were supposed to be brought. The official government donations, the donations that were brought by any of the neighbors from any of the other nations, and the donations that had been brought by the Jews themselves. Kol kabel dana, in light of all of that, Asparna tiknei v'chaspedana, you are to immediately utilize these funds to purchase torin, dichrin, imrin, minchaton v'niskeon, to buy all these various animals, the bulls and the rams and the sheep and the menachot, nesachin, utekarevimo al matbecha di beit elohon di Yerushalayim, and to bring them upon the altar of the house of your God in Yerushalayim. Umadi alach v'alachach yetev b'shar kaspa v'dav l'me'evad. And any leftover money, it's up to you and to those that are with you. Whatever you desire, you can use the rest of this money for what you wish. Kira'ut elachon ta'avdun. Do as is the desire of your God. And in fact, as the Malbim points out, obviously, the king knew that you couldn't use the money for anything that you really like, because once it was in the Dava to the Beis HaMikdash, there were certain very clear-cut things that had to be in a Trumat HaLishka. You could pay certain salaries from it, as the Gemara goes through in Shkalim. There's certainly all things that are mutter to do, according to the Sugya, and Shkalim is what he was saying, you can use that money for. And we're not mocked, but it has to be for any particular thing. That's remarkable. And he should throw that in. Umanayev. And furthermore, the various kelim. Demim mityavin lach lefolchan beit alahach. All of those kelim that are given to you for the worship of God that you're supposed to be taking with you, all of that, as opposed to the cash itself, hashlem kodam alaha Yerushalayim. You are to see to it that that should be placed, and that's, that can't be used for other purposes, in other words. Those things have to be in their entirety given over into the house of God. So in other words, we viewed that, understood. You can't take the kalim that have an actual kedusha on them and use them for some other purpose. Furthermore, Vishar Hashkut, we found this word before. Umar Hashkin, what are you choshesh for? What is it that you desire? Here too. Vishar Hashkut and all other requirements of Beit Elohach, Diyipelach Lemintan, which will fall to you to need, Tinatein mit Beit Kinzei Malka, shall be given from the treasury of the king. And therefore, I do hereby issue, and some of you before should learn, that this is a second letter, which is appended to the above letter. And therefore, I issue this second letter to the people in charge of the treasury. Umini ala takshasta malka, sim teim lechol yizabraya diba'avar nahara. The following message is to be given to all those treasurers that are at work in the territory of the Trans-Euphrates. Dichol diyish elun chun ezra kahana zefar data diela shamaya asparna yitabed. That anything that Ezra the great Kohen asks of you shall be immediately done. And he's allowed to have a budget of ad saf kakrim mea, which some learn this means for all of the various requirements separately. So in other words, you have a budget for Torin Adma'a, for Dichrin Adma'a, the Zachim, and so on and so forth, so that he can get up to Kakrin Me'a, Va'at Chintin Korin Me'a. So this makes sense, because if it's for each category, then the categories that are measured in other ways than their monetary value, so that it was a standard market price, I didn't have to give the amount of money, that I could give you in terms of volume. So how many chitim are necessary for the minachot? Korin ma'a, as far as how much wine is necessary. Ve'at chamar, batin ma'a. And as far as oil, ve'at batin mishach ma'a. When it comes to salt, melach ilochetav, no limits are placed on how much salt, either because it wasn't very expensive at the time, we know there were times where salt dafka was the commodity, or because the king controlled all of the salt, and therefore it was entirely part of the treasury of the king, and he wasn't makpid at giving whatever was necessary. Kol di min ta'am melaha shemaya yit abed ad razta. Now here is a very strange word that many of the foreshim say we don't know what the word means. Yeah, but Ezra seems to think that it relates to the word zirus. So he says, I mean, from the context it implies quickly. However, Rashi and the Malbim say that in ancient Aramaic, an ad razta was a chotam. And that's the way it is today in Arabic. So that a chotam shall be made, is the way the Malbim learns it, remarkably, that because anything that would be given as a requirement of the Beit HaMikdash shall be signed with the Chotam of the Beit Elah HaShemaya, instead of a decree. In other words, what he's doing now is, he feels embarrassed that he is sending out letters, and that in order for them to be able to get what they need, they're going to have to show a letter from Artaxerxes. And he feels that this is a bizoyim, because the Beis HaMikdash should be more powerful than Artaxerxes. So therefore, he wants this Admalbim, understand this. He wants a special seal to be made, which is the equivalent of the Melech seal, except it's the Melech Malkei Hamlochim seal.
Still talking about the bad guy?
The bad guy. So he wants this to create a special seal that is the seal of the house of Elohai Shemaya. And that seal will be the equivalent of a binding command of the king, whatever it is that it says. Because, he says, I don't want to get him angry at me. The lama yek tzaf amalchut malko panoi. We wouldn't want to get a Kadosh Baruch Hu angry now, would we? So if we're doing all of this, we better hand over the seals to the Beis HaMikdash itself. That's very cute.
Ulachom. Some learn that ulachom simply means and to you. Loshen of lachem. It's a very reasonable approach. Others understand lachom means and thus, or therefore, similar to lachem. Ulachom mahodi'im. And we do hereby notify you. Dikol kahanaya. This was a letter to the IRS, basically. He was writing to the Gizvarim, remember. Dikol kahanaya, Levaya, Zamaraya, Paraaya, the Tianaya, Upache Beit Aladina, that all of the Kohanim, Leviim, orchestra members, people in charge of the gates, and the Netinim, the water carriers and so on, who work for the aforementioned house of God, are completely and totally exempt from all taxes. Minda velo la'alach, lo shalit lamirme alehom, do not attempt to collect any taxes from them. They are potter from taxes. And this, amazingly, becomes the makor in the Gemara for the p'tur of Talmidei Chachamim from taxes. Because the understanding is, as the Mefarshim point out, the point of taxes is that it's the responsibility of the Malkut to provide for an army and for all of your needs and so on. And since we're doing that for you, so you have to pay us for that service. But over here, we view you as being the ones who are protecting, perhaps even us, but certainly yourselves. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with you, what do you need the Malkus to provide for you? And therefore it would be a chutzpah for us to take taxes from you. And because of that, we declare the church to be tax exempt. And this now becomes the issue later on with the ptur from whatever taxes are nogea, these type of things, the Gemara's Mechalik, between taxes that have to do with water systems, sewerage, and so on, where obviously it's a service, and that service you have to pay for, and taxes that have to do with defenses.
Now, we're going to see that this situation of not paying taxes because of the fact that we don't need protection turns out to be exceedingly embarrassing as we go on, but meanwhile, we'll set that aside. The Ant Ezra. And now turning to Ezra, the letter continues. We had this little piece of an aside, which I said yesterday that some of the Rishonim learned was actually a separate document. Getting back now to the main document, or continuing, learn this all one thing. And you, Ezra, kechochmat Elohach tiviyadach, meni shoftim v'dayanim, delehevon dayanin l'chol ama, debe'avar nahara, l'chol yodei datei Elohach. Now this is remarkable because this is, of course, the first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was called upon to do right after Har Sinai. We just got finished learning that the Aliyah of Regel is the Aliyah of Moshe to Har Sinai. The chok u'mishpat of Ezra is the chok of mishpat of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the first thing that the Melech writes to him is that he's to do, now that all the preparations are complete, is that he should be Mimane Shoftim V'Dayanim. Amazing. There are those who learn that it isn't a lashon of to be Mimane, but almost everybody understands it that way. Be Mimane, to see to it that they should be Shofet, that it's a question that to be Shofet. We'll see later on how to be Medayik in the lashon on all of the mitzvot in the Torah, some of them, of course, you understand, or specifically on the issues that you were empowered to deal with in terms of the Malchut. But in any event, the idea is that it should be following the laws of the Torah. L'cho yadei datei alaha. If they don't know, you should let them know. So in other words, there's two ways of understanding this. The simple meaning is as the Mefarshim point out, there's two dinim of Dayanim. There's Shoftim and Dayanim. Shoftim mean Mumchim. Mumchim l'Rabim, it would be a little absurd to say who doesn't know. But then there's a din of Shalosh Ed Yotot, which is a halacha. They could pask it in many cases, Shalosh Ed Yotot. However, the halacha is there that they have to be able to understand if explained to them. So you need to give them some background. So again, if that's what it's referring to, the Malbim understands it. I mean, this king is quite a Talmud Chacham. We find him continuing referring back to the halacha. So he's saying, go be Mamana Shoftim, that are Mumchim, and then you could have Shalosh Ed Yotot. But those Shalosh Ed Yotot's courts should not be Arachim, the way they are by the Goyim, they have to be serious. But they didn't. And he's reestablishing the Sidrei Hadayanim to begin, that's for sure. And of course, as we saw, the whole point of Ezra is that he establishes the Sanhedrin. That's Sanchik Nezazag Daila. That becomes now the Makor of Torah for Yisrael. So this is, first of all, the simple meaning. Others learn that it extends also that Bechlal. V'di lo yada, Whoever doesn't know, meaning who doesn't know anything that is nogea in the Torah and is missing yediyah in mitzvot, see to it that he knows. So in other words, he has now a mandate from the king that he's got to see to it that there's an educational system according to that. So first of all, there should be dayanim, and there should be shoftim, and there should be melamdim. Furthermore, v'chol, says the melech, v'chol asher lohi, those, anybody, the meaning in the Hebrew, anybody that will not be doing, the lo lehavi avedat ha'dialahav, was not going to be doing those chiyuvim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and those chiyuvim, the dat di malka, then the result should be instant. Asparna din alavid mitavid mine. You're to take immediate action. Don't allow such a thing to sit there and ruin the entire tzibur. And I give you now an empowerment to actually try capital cases and to kill with the power of the court. En lamot, en lishroshi, to have the man uprooted from society, or to punish you, him with fines, and la'esurim. Now, similar la'esurim is a lashon of beta asurim, to imprison. Lamaisa, we don't have a concept of imprisonment, and everything has been very, very strongly along the Dine HaTer up until now. So it could be esurim, the way the other Befarshim learned is a lashon of yisurim. Yisurim means to give malkot, whether it's malkot mardut or abanan, whether the Besdin has the right to punish with corporeal punishment, or whether it's malkut d'oraita. But he's going through now the various inyonim that the court has a right to do. And Lamaisa the Gemara understands that these, all of the things, it's incredible that we learned that out of Daryovich, not from, we're learning out of the letter from Artaxerxes. We're not learning out of a pasuk tam that's telling us this halacha. But the lashon in Mayat Katan is to be medayik every single one of these words, because each one of them is a reference to something that the Beis Din is in power to do. So the Gemara will ask, how do we know that you could do X? How do you know you could do Y? So how do we know that you're allowed to do a cheren? Because it says, hen l'shorashi. And how do you know that you're allowed to take away all of his valuables and so on? That's what it says, anash nichsin. And so on and so forth. That's how we learn the shorashin, shorash, which doesn't really become clear. What does it mean to be uproot a person? Uproot in what sense? I mean, you already said to kill. What is the uprooting? Must be that there's some kind of clear-cut legal mechanism to cut a guy out of society. That is the din of putting someone into cherem, that you're put first into nidui, and that's immediately. If he hasn't done teshuva or made up whatever it was that the court wanted him to do, he's given another 30 days. Then you're machrimin, which is much more chomer than nidui. And so on and so forth. This keeps going until the guy finally gives in. But that means that each one of these things, this is someone who was chayef, let's say, to pay mama, doesn't want to pay alpi the beit din, you can go and take his money. Then there's hefker beit din hefker. So it's not stam that he's indicating in his letter that he is a baki in the dinim of the Torah. But actually the Gemara learns from him what the halachas are. I mean, otherwise, why not learn that it's just a din of din and a malchuta dina? No, it's not din and a malchuta. He's just saying that the government is empowering you to do whatever the dinei ha'Torah are. In case you didn't know what they are, it's hein lamot, hein lanash, hein l'shorashi, and so on and so forth. Now, the shofet is mumche, and dayan is hedyot. And so this is the end of the letter, and it's so indicated by having the parsha Petucha here. Now we have Ezra's response to the letter. And Ezra, of course, is as amazed as we are. Baruch Adonai Elohei Avotenu, asher natan kezot b'lev ha-melech, lefa'eret beit Adonai asher b'Yerushalayim. That's the first part, that the Beit HaMikdash, especially if we understand like those Mefarshim, we say that there was a stamp to the Beit HaMikdash, it was covered. Wasn't only the building of the Beit HaMikdash that had already been done, wasn't only the Korbanos, wasn't only the Kelim, but it was the special rite in which a stamp with the tzura of the Beit HaMikdash and the decree of the Beit HaMikdash had the full power of Malchut behind it. And furthermore, V'alai hitacheset, l'vni ha-melech v'yoatzav, v'lochol sarei ha-melech ha-giborim. And not only that, but look at the way that he was relating to me. And I found favor in his eyes, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, as we said, Lev Melachim Bihad Hashem, that this was an unbelievable commitment that he had to me personally, to trust in me, as we saw earlier in the letter, giving me over the money, making me responsible to be free of the local governors and to give any demands that I had, and they had to immediately listen to me. Furthermore, and this was not only the Melach, but as the Melach keeps repeating, and the inner cabinet, the seven members of the inner cabinet, and not only that, but all of the advisors, not only the Shiva Raya Pnei HaMelech, but the Giborim that he had, Vani Chazakti Kiyad Adonai Elohai Alai. And I, utilizing this, I made myself strong, and I was strengthened to be able to, I understood that this is not something I could do alone, and I managed to convince the Ekbitzam Yisrael Rashim La'alotimi. I was able to collect the heads of the important families, and by collecting the heads and having them meet with me, and we saw the way the Ibn Ezra learns the Lashon of the Yesud HaMa'ala, that it was a conference. It was a conference in which they planned the entire Aliyah, and that conference was seen here as the Makor. But that was indeed a very special thing that I was zeicha to get people together. I mean, you know how hard it is to get Jews together to do anything. And getting the Roshei of the Mishpachot, the Roshei Ha'am, that enabled me to draw others to come along who otherwise would never have come.